This is Happily Holistic, where we dive deeply into everything health and wellness with a big dash of spirituality and a sprinkle of business. We spotlight the uplifting and the positive and share the secret ways top wellness authors and celebrities get inspired, stay healthy, and enjoy this beautiful life. I'm your host, Amy Lee Mercury, best-selling author of 15 books and holistic health expert for the last 19 years. I can't wait to get happily holistic with you today.
Hello, hello, and welcome to Happily Holistic. I am so excited to be here today with Elaine Clayton. Hi, Elaine.
Hi, Amy. Amy Lee. Thank you for having me.
Oh, I'm so happy I get to have you. Elaine and I have been, you know, in one another's circle for a long time because we have the same amazing, wonderful, life-changing literary agent, Lisa Hagen.
Yay, Lisa.
Yeah, we love Lisa. I think we'll talk about her more later because she's so awesome. And so Elaine is an author who's written, how many books have you written total?
I've written and illustrated, probably for kids, written and illustrated maybe 8, and then illustrated dozens more for other authors, and then for adults, written half a dozen maybe.
Wonderful. So Elaine is prolific and creative and amazing. One of her books, Making Marks, Discover the Art of Intuitive Drawing, was selected as a top 10 most inspirational book by Aspire magazine. And we love Linda Joy, who's the editor in chief of Aspire. And Larry Doocy stated that Making Marks shows how a universal urge to make marks can be a doorway to dimensions of consciousness of which we were unaware of in our waking lives. So yeah,
I love his work.
I love his work.
Awesome.
I love that quote.
I do too. Yeah.
It's a great quote. And our friend, my good friend, Dr. Lori Nadel, you're probably friends with
Dr. She's a big mentor of mine.
Yeah, Dr. Lori's a good friend of mine. She said, this book will give you the self-confidence to explore your own hidden potential.
Yeah, so, she's amazing.
She's wonderful. And Dr. Lori and I met in 2008, and we've been friends and kind of gone back and forth throughout it. And she's actually the person who introduced me to Lisa Hagen, my agent. And she did so because she was instructed to in a channeling by some guides.
That's really cool. Well, she was responsible for me meeting Lisa too.
Did she introduce you to Lisa?
Yes, pretty much. She was the link there. Yeah. And then there were other links that turned out to be there. It's pretty interesting because it turned out that I had written to someone Lisa grew up with when I was about 15, 16 because it was Dr. Ritchie's NDE that was the first case study that his book was Return from Tomorrow. And it was Raymond Moody's first case study, his first NDE really. And so this book was, my dad gave it to me when I was a teenager.
Yes.
He said, you're going to really like this book. And I ended up writing Dr. Ritchie and later even became friends with the Moodys. But it turned out Lisa grew up with Dr. Ritchie, and Dr. Ritchie was kind enough to write me back. And, so we had this long circle of a connection that we didn't even know about until Dr. Nadel, Lori really had us connect. Probably 12 to 15 years ago now. I think, I don't know.
Wow.
A while ago now.
It's so funny how it's a small world, when you discover that like people who already know each other, my good friend, Karen Carter, who's been on the podcast as well. She wrote Move Your Stuff, Change Your Life. Mm-hmm. And her and I became friends in the last 6 or 7 years. And, many years in, we realized she also knows Lisa.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. It's just kind of funny. Everybody kind of knows each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. And our genre's not huge. I mean, it is an amazing, so a lot of people know each other. So anyways, so Elaine is like so creative and incredibly prolific. So I want you, Elaine, to run us through some of your books. I know you have some with you there. So show us, you know, if you're listening in the car, we're going to say the names. And if you are watching us on video, then you can see the books. Elaine's going to hold them up because she's got some amazing stuff.
Well, thank you for that. And you know what I'll do is I'll start with the first one and then end up with the ones that are really pertinent right now. But they're all kind of, they all matter right now because they're all really in the same category of intuitive development. And my mission, I guess, is to develop intuitive, empathic, spiritual, and cultivate intuitive, empathic, and spiritual intelligence really through visual imagery. Because I'm a visual artist, and I realized that as a reader, as an intuitive reader, sometimes people, you know, you go to readers, and I remember even when I was very young going to readers, and they would say things that would kind of scare you a little to get you to be dependent on them.
Right.
Like one told me when I was young, someone's trying to harm you. And I said, oh, really? You know, and she may have been right. Maybe there was someone trying to, but I said, oh, you know, and she said, but I can do a smoke screen for you. And I said, well, what is that? And it was very expensive. And she said, she described what sounded like lighting a candle and saying a prayer. Yeah. And I was about 20 years old, and I thought, she thinks I don't know how to say my own prayers.
Yeah.
But what if I had been really vulnerable?
Exactly.
Right? So at one point, I decided this was so wrong that what I would do is I would write books showing people how to develop their own intuitive empowerment. So we can go to people if we want to, but you don't have to. You're never separate from the knowledge that you need. You are that knowledge. You have, in my personal philosophy, you have that knowing source in every cell of your being. So the first book that I did that was for adults after years of writing and illustrating for children with Random House and Houghton Clarion is book. Illuminara Intuitive Journal with Cards. So what I decided to do was make this journal so you would participate with a journal, and I'll open it up in a moment. But I took all this artwork that I have. This is the front of the cards. They're giant.
Beautiful.
They're ginormous cards.
They're huge. Yeah.
They're huge for a reason. You know how normally you go buy intuitive cards, you know, psychic cards.
Yeah.
And you have to look in the book to read to find out what the meanings are. And those are fun too. I have a bunch of those. And I even did some that I'll show you in a minute where I did meditate and put the meanings down. But what I wanted for this was developing your own intuitive sort of museum, your own language. So I put all kinds of artwork. Here's one. It's very different from, say, this one.
Right.
Each one is to invoke or evoke a different emotional response.
Yeah.
Because line, form, shape, and color does do that. It pulls out a whole different set of feelings. And what you're supposed to do with this is you would randomly pick a card. I'll even do it right now.
For our listeners.
Let's pick one for us right now.
Yeah.
And you would just say, you know, you might have a concern. This is fun for us because of my own meaning. So,
ooh.
Yeah, this one. Now, so what I would encourage people to do when they pick a card is to then go to the journal and find there's a number. This one has number 17. You can't see it. It's really faint. And I would go to the journal and find number 17. Might have to put my glasses on. Let's see if I don't have to. And what I would do is on this page in the journal with number 17.
It shows the picture.
Yeah, I would write as much as I could about what this card makes me, what it makes me feel, what it makes me think, what it reminds me of. Yeah. Because we have a personal unconscious memory. What I'm trying to do is say, don't just label it like we were taught to in school, you know, ink drawing, labeling. What you would do is say, go deeper and say, it reminds me of, it makes me feel this way. It makes me think this. And sometimes you may even get random thoughts and feelings that you cannot rationally explain, but you trust it and write it down. So that, what if one day you or a friend were to say to me, let's just pretend you called me and said, or I called you, let's say I called you, Amy Lee, I'm having a really bad day. I don't even want to tell you what it is, but would you pick a card for me and help me and just tell me what it means to you? And let's say you got this for me, and you could explain, like just right now, if you said one or two words that come to mind when you look at this image.
Climbing and falling and unraveling.
Those are so powerful.
Deconstructing too.
Okay. And so what, if you said those to me, I could say to you, wow, that's how I feel right now.
Right.
I feel like I'm in a situation where, and then I would be talking to you and we would go deeper and deeper. And then you would be able to tell me more about what those things mean to you. What does it mean to climb? What does it mean to unravel? What do we do about it when we feel that way? And you start to go to this intuitive zone where we're, all we did was look at an image.
Yes.
And you shared what it meant to you. And then it has this humongous value for me. And you didn't have to even know what my issue was.
Right.
Okay, so this starts getting really interesting. Like if you chose three cards, and then you get multiple layers, you might even say, oh, it reminds me of when I was in third grade, this thing happened, and then it directly correlates to some part of what I'm going through.
Right.
It gets really freaking interesting.
It already did. Just the way you just led us through that a little bit. Did you know the way you can open the subconscious, I'm thinking, is what you're doing, right?
That's it. And I think that what I figured out from the heart is that when we perceive from the heart for spiritual knowledge, for empathy, for understanding better, especially on behalf of another, the answers are there. We don't have to strive, but the world wants us to believe we have to really stretch. We have to pace. We have to go out and get it. It's impossible.
You can't struggle. We must
struggle. You can't afford it. You're not good enough for it. And it's not true. Those are illusions. We really don't have to do much. We just have to receive from the heart. And so we are so visual mainly that's one of the best ways we can access that. And so
I love that, Elaine. Wow.
Thank you. So so the next one that I'll just go to, let's see, maybe what I'll do is jump to the most recent one that's related to that.
Good
and
idea.
And then I'll show you the other two.
Good idea.
Okay. Because this is directly related.
This making one is, marks.
Yeah. Making marks, discover the art of intuitive drawing. And this is with Simon & Schuster Beyond Words. They're so wonderful. And we're doing so much more now because stream drawing, this is intuitive stream drawing. Again, it's using visual imagery, just like what I explained, but you know, with the cards, specific images. But in this case, what you do is you're actually the one making the marks.
Yeah.
Because I realized that when you get into a stream of consciousness flow through drawing, that's one part of entering into a zone of knowing, of intuitive knowing. And then when you gaze, again, opening from the heart, you begin to trust some information that flows in, and then you can discover and connect. Now, why do I use drawing? Because all those years teaching, being a visiting author, mainly going up and down the East Coast, into schools, libraries, museums with kids, and then also with adults, I discovered once people leave the age of about 5, they stop drawing. Well, I will say 7 or 8, really, the age of reason. They stop drawing. Partly school, there's no time.
Right.
Partly you develop a little bit differently and you want to render, you want a tree drawing to look just like the tree.
Mm-hmm.
Partly because you just start self-criticizing so much. And school environments don't encourage it as much, nor does society.
Exactly.
So adults and kids alike would say, I like to draw, but I am not good at it. So I started teaching people how to draw in a way that would loosen them up and get them into that intuitive, empathic place. I thought that there was not enough empathy in schools. There was almost no talking about feelings.
Absolutely. Not
criticizing the system exactly, because I know that teachers, I was a teacher. You don't always have time.
I was a teacher too. No, you don't have time. And you're,
can you imagine someone saying, how do you feel about your math problem?
It's not part of the structure that you're supposed to function within either.
No, but a lot of, we have so many feelings about everything that we're doing.
We do.
And not only that, line work, remember line, shape, color, and form makes us feel a lot. But if you cannot stop to register what it's making you feel, then you're responding without being able to process that.
Yes.
And for example, talking about math, I saw the numbers and the alphabets as people. Those lines and shapes were people and personalities for me.
Yes.
I wasn't doing what they were asking us to do with those symbols. What I try to get people to do is, you know, really get back into relating to how powerful imagery is again, to access our emotions and our responses, and to get into drawing as a way of developing empathy, developing an intuitive language that is your own, so that right now during our pandemic and such great social change, we have so much tension, we have so many emotions, right?
Yeah.
And some of the stuff that happens with these drawings, they can just be really easy.
That's so pretty.
I use watercolor and pencil or they can be where you do really, really serious intuitive exploration. Like people ask me to do them on behalf of them for intuitive readings.
Right,
and that means some really profound stuff happens.
Yeah.
When I do them for myself for meditations, serious, profound things happen. Like I had a surprise the other day. I woke up and I decided to just do one in the morning. And this was funny because I saw a woman, I thought of it as a woman with two babies.
Yes.
And I have two sons who I really miss because it's a pandemic and I can't see.
Because
they're up north and I'm down here and I can't travel to see them.
Yes.
And then I saw a kangaroo there with a heart. See the kangaroo?
Yeah, I do.
Well, I had to meditate for a few moments. What is this telling me? First of all, they're not babies anymore, but kangaroos are unusual. They're marsupials.
Yeah,
the babies are born too vulnerable to be outside of a pocket. So the mommy puts them in the pocket till they're ready to leave a pocket.
Yeah.
Okay, but whereas human babies are born and they're okay, you have to just, they're interdependent. But anyway, I laughed at myself because it made me realize that my sons are okay. They're learning to survive in the world.
Yeah.
I need to keep them in my pocket, either emotionally or whatever.
Yeah.
And just accept that, we're in a pandemic, but they're surviving and they're learning how to live in the world.
Yeah.
And this little meditation that I did with my eyes closed using my non-dominant hand, by the way,
that's
what screen drawing is. You don't use the hand you normally use, and you have to close your eyes.
Wow.
So that way you have total no control.
Yeah.
Basically, so that you don't edit yourself. But
can
you imagine having such a message from closing your eyes and using your non-dominant hand?
I love it. It's beautiful.
So I'm hooked on it because I get so much out of it, and I really love doing it with people.
Yeah.
So that's the Making Marks book. And
I love it.
You know, I'm doing
it. I want to try it. I, as you know, I'm a medical intuitive, and I automatic write for myself frequently.
It's the same as that, really. It's very similar.
Sometimes I do some jarring in there too.
Well, I'm sure you do because actually this is not me. This isn't a new thing. Art teachers actually try to encourage people to, you know, draw loosely. Kids, babies do this. Toddlers do it. I'm just reminding people of what is in there already that they already knew.
Yeah, you're bringing it out and you're teaching how to work with it. It's amazing.
Don't lose it. Yeah, I don't want people to lose it, because the minute we take that away, we've taken away the most powerful, natural thing that actually gives people their creative, their creative uniqueness to express. And when we've removed that from people, we have weakened them. What does that say about our society?
Of course. And I love to, we have so much to talk about. We're already getting to close to the end of our time here, but I also love that you've been bringing up the fostering of empathy, because I feel like that's something that is going to be coming to the forefront in the next couple of years as we look at the societal implications of a lot of action without empathy. And then the pushback from, the people saying that we do want a society that functions with empathy, and we cultivate that. So I kind of feel like these are some polarities that are getting stirred up right now. And I love that you can bring that out.
Yeah. I mean, I think the polarization is very much here, as we know, we feel it.
Yeah.
And since the 80s, I felt like there was not enough empathy. So now we're left with this issue of greatly polarized. And you cannot say to someone, how do you think they feel? Look over there. How do you think that person feels? If they have not had a conversation from within, if they have not practiced perceiving from the heart, it is an inside job first. And it's not, we're not talking about being enmeshed and being, interdependent in an unhealthy way. We're talking about just simply opening from the heart to wonder what it feels like to experience something the way the other does. And to realize that we're not the other. We're not responsible for others' actions, but we are self-harmonious when we can feel what the other feels. And until we get there, we will be very fractured.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I feel like on an evolutionary level that's where we're headed, although the path appears right now to be arduous and circuitous. I do think that ultimately that's where humanity is headed. I don't know how long it's going to take.
I know.
It might take a while, but
I'm hopeful that we will get there. I always think that the light always overcomes the shadow.
I agree.
I don't know, again, how much suffering that we will bring upon ourselves to get there. Sometimes people have to suffer greatly to finally give up the hate and the lack of, really the lack of empathy toward each other, to finally give up that ego that resists feeling for each other.
Yeah.
A lot of ego.
That brings us back around to what you said earlier about embracing ease, and it doesn't, we don't have to make things such a struggle and such a quest to overcome these adversities. Instead, if we can, relax into letting go and allowing and letting ease come into our lives. But I think you made a really good point that does take some relaxation of those soul ego structures and those personality ego structures to allow that. And everyone has their own process of that. And that will probably be the case throughout, it probably has been the case throughout history and will continue to be as well. But
I think meditation and art, especially art helps us, music, visual arts, meditation, spiritual arts, all of these things have a way of helping us access
absolutely
that allowing of something other than the ego with its logic, its rationale. Yes. It's trying to come up with solutions that don't really arise.
Yes.
Intellectualizing, and I'm not against ideas that are intellectual, because we have to have those,
of course,
but we need to balance it with the emotional intelligence with a sense of spiritual creative abundance that we're sorely in need of, and we know right now. So art has been shoved over, and spiritual arts have been shoved over and laughed at, and it's really time for us to welcome it, because we'll suffer more if we don't. And everyone does have their own process. I just offer one way,
I love it. I love this way.
I'm open to others too.
Yeah, I'm excited to keep exploring that. I know we're gonna have to wrap up, so I want to mention Elaine has many books. You can find her at elaineclayton.com, and she wrote two books for the Little Bit of series, which I did as well. These are the guided journals too.
I love yours. I have yours, and this is Bit of Angels and Little Bit of Fairies.
Look at those, and we got to do those with Kate Zimmerman, who we love.
Yeah, I just love the series. I think it's fantastic.
I love the series.
That was a good one. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I'm excited now we have the journals. I have this journal too, 100 Days to Calm, but we have a bunch of the journals.
Journals are awesome. Journals are awesome. And just to plug Lisa Hagen books.
Yes, we love Lisa Hagen books.
Pug's Guide to Happiness was really fun, but pugs are so assertive and
so
curious.
Love.
And curiosity is an important thing. If we're not curious about people, then we really miss out.
Yes.
To be curious about other people, what they feel, what they think, what they experience. That is also full of light, to be curious about people.
Yes, I agree with that.
And the pug is kind of a good example of that.
Is a fun example.
A fun book, yeah.
Yes, and you have a pug, I hear.
I have a pug, Georgia.
You have a pug, Georgia. Yeah, I love that. Yeah, so we love Lisa Hagen, our literary agent. She also has her publishing imprint, and she's amazing. And I just love to shout out to Lisa because she's just been such, a force in my life and helped my dreams come true, and I'm sure yours too.
She's doing incredible work.
She really is.
The world, really, because the amount of books that she puts out that help people have resources to go to for the support that we need to get through such times as these. This is a very historical moment.
It
globally, is. Humongous. Yeah. We want to survive. We want to thrive. And she's put out so many books that give us some ability to,
Absolutely.
Not just get through it, but actually be enlightened.
Mm-hmm. I agree. Absolutely. It's been so amazing having you on here. I want everyone to keep their eyes out because we're going to have to do a part two with Elaine because we have barely scratched the surface. We've gone over our length, but we just had so much to talk about.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I'm so glad you got to be here. And on our next part two, when we do this, I'm going to ask you our end of the interview question next time. So today we're going to thank Elaine. I'm going to urge you guys to check out elaineclayton.com. And all we didn't even mention all of her books because there's so many and her work is so incredible. So please go and find her. And Elaine, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you, Amy Lee. It was really a blessing for me.
I'm really glad you were here.
I look forward to more.
Yes, we're definitely going to have you back. We have a lot more to discuss.
Okay, thank you so much.
So thank you all for listening to Happily Holistic, and we will talk again soon.
Thanks for listening to Happily Holistic with me, Amy Lee Mercree. You can find out more about the show on amyleemercree.com on the podcast page. Please stop by your favorite social platform and leave me a comment. I'd love to hear how you liked today's show and what topics you'd like me to cover in the future. Come find me on Instagram and Facebook at Amy Lee Mercree. Until next time, stay happily holistic.